What is your experience with toxicity? And I think this relates to your question, because if you can delay the progression without introducing a lot of toxicity, I would view that as a positive palliative maneuver.
The other point I want to make, and then I'll mention toxicity, is that in colorectal cancer, there is now a trial that suggests that bevacizumab adds to second-line chemotherapy. So breast cancer is obviously not colorectal cancer, but this is a drug that works in a number of diseases. And again, we don't exactly know how it's working. So to stick with just first-line when it works as a single agent in ovary cancer and second-line chemotherapy in colorectal cancer, I don't think that this is an agent that we can be rigid with at this time. We were lucky with trastuzumab because we had a marker, HER2 positive disease. We figured out it works better in 3+ positive patients. Hopefully, we'll find something for bevacizumab that will help direct our treatment. There's definitely hypertension, and it can be very significant. About 20% require 2 drugs to control the blood pressure, but it is, I think, a controllable toxicity. But I think as oncologists, we have to learn a little bit about internal medicine. With the aromatase inhibitors, we've had to learn a little bit about bone metabolism and osteopenia and osteoporosis and bisphosphonates. And I think with bevacizumab, we have to know to monitor the hypertension and also have a few drugs that we feel comfortable using and introduce them earlier. I've also had a few patients have nephrotic range proteinuria, and I do watch the urine protein creatinine ratio, not every cycle, but every few months I do monitor it. I think because the dose is higher in breast cancer at 15 mg per kg every 3 weeks or 10 every other, the incidence of proteinuria may be higher than what our colorectal colleagues see.